Good evening, everyone. We're just waiting for Pablo at the headquarters to just make a few technical adjustments, and we're going to be with you shortly. So just give us one more minute, and then we will start tonight's exciting AMA with the fantastic identity projects. Creds. And checked. So I will be with you very, very shortly. We'll just be another minute to 90 seconds.
Brilliant.
Okay, without further ado, let's start tonight's Speculate X space. I want to say a massive thank you to Pablo at CoinMarketLeague for hosting this space. It's going to be a really insightful evening for those people that are interested in digital identity and self-sovereignty. We also have a massive thank you to Teresa, who has been like a schoolmistress to us behind the scenes over the last few days. She has been dealing with all of the marketing side, the documentation side. So kudos to you, Teresa, for some brilliant work and helping us organize tonight's space. And of course, it wouldn't be right if I didn't say a massive thank you to you, Ross, for coming and spending your Sunday evening with us to enlighten us on the projects that we're going to be talking about. What I would like to do, first of all, with the early listeners, is just kind of give us a bit of an understanding between the two different projects that we're going to be discussing tonight so we can differentiate between them. We're looking at Checked, and I think from what I gather, that's the high-level overview, and as a smaller offset of Checked, we have got the Creds project that has launched more recently. Am I right in saying that? Can you just differentiate that before we get into an introduction and everything?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I will say, Fraser, you'll see in the audience as well, Fraser underscore again, he'll be joining us as well. So if he can come join me on the stage, that'd be great. Oh, there we go. I can do a quick introduction to that, and then before we get started. So yeah, Checked is a layer one network itself. Think of it as infrastructure for decentralized and digital identity. It's a blockchain network in and of itself, built on the Cosmos, within the Cosmos ecosystem. Creds is more of a consumer app. So it basically is built on the Checked network, but it's a consumer app focused on enabling individuals to, you know, fully understand and engage with what digital identity is really all about. And so it's focused on reputation building, loyalty, engagement, that kind of side of things. But we can go into much more detail shortly.
Yeah, perfect. I just wanted to do that to start off with, just so, because obviously we're dealing with two different projects. Like you say, the L1 and the app itself, and I just don't want people kind of confused, because obviously both having the sort of C name as well, it can be quite confusing to some people that don't understand that. Okay, so without further ado, we have Fraser with us. So Fraser is the CEO of Checked, and I believe, Ross, you're head of product with both Checked and Creds. So I know that there's a massive crossover between the two. So I think, first of all, if you guys can just give me a little bit of an insight into what sparked your kind of interest in Web3. I mean, your journey into Web3 as well, I think, is most important. But then, as you came into the Web3 world, what took you on the road down the kind of identity lane?
Ooh. So first, probably worth checking that my microphone is working. So if someone could just give me an okay that that's all coming through fine.
Splendid. You're absolutely loud and clear.
Fantastic. So mine was almost the opposite way around. So you asked the question of how we came into Web3 and then identity. I did it backwards. So I went in headlong into identity, and that meant I found myself in Web3. So I was a consultant for about 6 or 7 years, mostly working on like tech integrations, and spent a lot of time doing biometric implementations. So if you're in the UK and you've been using systems where like you call up your bank and they authenticate you using your voice, 50% chance I'd probably put that system in. So I went down the kind of biometric and identity route, and then started doing some kind of blockchain work while I was still a consultant. And then a couple of projects came around that were a mix of blockchain and identity. And obviously that took me down the Web3 path while I was still kind of working at this big corporate consultancy. And then about two and a half years ago, found a problem that wasn't getting solved. And myself and Anchor thought we'd be the right people to go and solve it. So yeah, mine was a bit the other way around. It was very much going and doing a load of identity stuff, and then just happening to fall down the Web3 rabbit hole. Don't know about Ross though.
Yeah. So yeah, as you said, I'm kind of a senior product manager at Checked. I kind of came into the space. I first understood it actually in 2016 in blockchain. I kind of was exploring how blockchain and various aspects of sort of emerging technologies could be applied in emerging markets and emerging countries to increase trust across a range of institutional levels. So government to government, government to individual, and then individual to individual. And I kind of was exploring this, I guess, dissertation on the topic, started realizing that identity and sort of financial inclusion were some of the biggest blockers for people being able to access savings, loans, various different aspects of kind of what can help alleviate poverty. And then that kind of made me evolve into the blockchain space. And I worked alongside or within the same company as Fraser for just over 3 years. And then when Fraser and Fraser's co-founder Anchor got started with Checked, I hassled them for the first sort of month or two until they let me get in the door and start working with them.
Fantastic, great introduction. Thank you very much. So you've said about the Cosmos ecosystem as your choice. Can you just kind of elaborate a little bit why? I mean, we've got so many different chains, so many different options open to us now. What was it with Cosmos that attracted you to go, okay, this is where we need to set up camp with the Checked product?
Yeah, I have to start that one and then maybe hand over to Ross. So we started 2.5 years ago, so that probably provides a lot of context. So we didn't have all the layer two like roll-up, ZK roll-up stuff that's coming through now. So at the time, a lot of self-sovereign ID identity projects were built on a technology called, or protocol called Hyperledger Indy. So you've got the likes of the Sovereign Network, then you've got some stuff done by the government of British Columbia out in Canada, and then a few other networks around the way. Problem with that is it was severely limited. So it had been built the ground up for identity, but it could only do four transactions a second. It was like severely, severely slow. So we just went out looking for alternatives, and 2.5 years ago, there weren't that many around. So our options were running on something like Ethereum, where the fees would just be insane, especially because we were like running on it when it was proof of work rather than proof of stake. Then looking at things like doing something similar on Stellar. And then the other really two alternatives were Polkadot and Cosmos. And Cosmos, obviously, like you've got the whole ecosystem, you've got all the tooling, but it didn't have the rent abstraction that Polkadot had, where we'd have, like, if we raised, let's say, $4 or $5 million, like all of that would just go on getting a parachain slot through an auction. So one, the tech I would argue was better and is better, but also it wasn't like wasting a load of capital on just getting a slot. And then also, I kind of alluded to it earlier, there's all the surrounding ecosystem, and just the fact that like there are exchanges, custodians, wallets, like everything was there. made it so much easier. And I think the other part, the final bit, is that we really needed control all the way down the stack. So we couldn't realistically build this on, like, if we built it on something like Ethereum, it would have been incredibly hard, because what we're doing is really at the base layer. And so it might work on, say, rollups now, but back then, like, we really needed control of the entire stack, which narrowed down our choice so much. I have to say, to be honest, like, feeling pretty vindicated for how it's gone. The ecosystem's, like, matured a lot, and now that other parts of it have matured as well, like, there's so many pieces in Cosmos, so many utilities in Cosmos that we get to use for free that otherwise would have had to build. And there's been a few times where working in Cosmos has shaved time off our roadmap because someone's gone and built something that is reusable for us. So it's been, yeah, with the benefit of hindsight, still a really good choice, which is a great feeling, because it was a bit of a gamble when we did it.
Would you like to add anything to Fraser's points there, Ross?
I think Fraser, yeah, did it really well there. I think one of the things we also love, and I think Fraser kind of touched on this, is the governance aspect of kind of what is within the Cosmos ecosystem. The way that kind of, by having a sovereign chain, as Fraser kind of mentioned, we can have a much more sort of control over how we decentralize the governance, and that's been a really good thing within the Cosmos ecosystem. There's good tools out there, Commonwealth, one that we use well. So yeah, that was another aspect which kind of drew us to it.
Super. Thanks for that additional value. Moving on to Checked. So Checked being an L1 within the Cosmos ecosystem, could you provide us an overview of its, you know, its primary functionalities across various industries and use cases? I mean, you've obviously got a product now that you've released, like the application on your own L1. I want to try and, if we can, with our listeners, I want to try and keep this as layman's as we possibly can, because I appreciate this is very technical and it could, like, lose people. And the way that I always like to do these AMAs is to try and speak in sort of languages that are easily understood. I call it Johnny Age 3 languages, very conversational. So that if you can explain to us, like, the sort of the primary functionalities and use cases in that sort of language, that would be amazing, guys. Thank you.
I'll take a crack, and then Ross, you're normally better at this than me in terms of keeping it, like, articulating it in good simple language. Really what Checked is there for the network is to enable the reuse of data, specifically trusted data. And obviously that's going down a technical rabbit hole already, but what we mean by that is any data that you might want to move around where it's important, where you know where it came from and how it got to the end place. So easy examples of that are, if anyone has ever gone through like Know Your Customer KYC checks with a bank, an exchange, being able to reuse something like that, so you're not going through the same process again and again and again. You can just go through the process the first time, digitize all that data, and then reuse it again in the future. And obviously at that point, if you're reusing it, it's important to know how you generated that data in the first place, how it got to you, how it's being shared in the future. So it's really important that these kind of bits all fit together. But it's not just KYC, it's all sorts of data. So it could be, trying to think of other examples, like business licenses. It could be that you are, let's say you're in VR or like the metaverse, and you want to prove who you are to someone else. So you don't necessarily need to dox yourself, you just need to prove that you're the right person. So you might be proving that you work for a certain company, you might be proving that you hold a certain handle on a different network, so, or a different channel like Telegram. Or you could be going into, like, if it's, say, a business context, that you have a business license to operate in a certain jurisdiction. Or it might be, especially, again, go back to that metaverse example, with the amount of generative AI and the content that's coming out, being able to generate voices, faces, all that kind of stuff, being able to prove that you're the right person or the genuine person. So really kind of every use case boils down to reusing data. and reusing data that needs to be trusted across different ecosystems. Ross, anything else? I mean, there's so many different use cases. Ross, any of the ones you'd call out?
No, I think you I think you grasped the range of it. And I guess in the interest of dumbing things down, which is what I had to do for myself to learn the space, one kind of quite simple way of thinking about the sort of the network of Checked is, if you imagine like currently like payments networks, obviously when you look at payments, you look at kind of the way you as an individual interact with things on a day-to-day basis, is you have your banking application on your phone, say Starling, Monzo, whatever that might be. And then obviously in the background, you have like MasterCard and Visa that are doing the kind of the underlying, the network to network, the kind of like actually making things move and things like that. So with Checked, one of the key things is we're basically building an identity network, much in the same way that Visa and MasterCard help facilitate payments. We kind of can help facilitate like the movement of these identity transactions. And as the world increasingly moves to a more kind of decentralized way of managing identity, and you have like massive EU regulations pushing for that as well at the moment, it kind of gives people the opportunity to build applications on top of our network, just like someone would build a new bank and things like that. We basically partner with a wide range of vendors, 45 in total so far, that build applications for identity across these different use cases, as Fraser kind of said. And Creds being one of them, but we have partners building a whole wide range. And so, those use cases are kind of a lot of the ones that Fraser mentioned. And we can come onto a few more within the specific context of Creds as well.
Amazing. Having a background in the medical profession, you know, when you're talking about use cases here, it just brings me back to those days where patient confidentiality was, you know, one of the biggest aspects, and how there was also a breakdown in that data from the pre-hospital care that we were providing all the way through to sort of consultants and specialists that further down the line. And there was information that was lost in that chain when I was involved a few decades ago. So, you know, I'm immediately sort of referring back to that in my mind, thinking, yeah, I get with the KYC and the sort of crypto side of things. And even like with, I suppose, you know, the, accredited investors and that kind of thing, we can do with AML and anti-terrorist financing and all sorts of different boxes that we can tick there. But yeah, for me, it's about the medical side and thinking, you know, I could then allow a whole host of different professionals at different touch points, the access to that encrypted or digitalized information that I wouldn't want anyone else. So it's fascinating to think that you've got all of these different sort of use cases that are building as well, you know, the 40 plus and just the creds being one of those. The next one I want to kind of touch on now is this is a couple of years, and you have said, you know, what was available to you a couple of years ago, and what were the tools that were out there are a lot different to what they are now. You know, the way that the crypto space has evolved in that time, do you feel, is there anything that you are seeing as evidence that now is a real pivotal time for, the privacy, digital identity, more so than any point in that journey? Or do you think it's kind of just the same as it was a couple of years ago? Or do you think now there is even more of a need and a desire out there for that sort of self-sovereignty, isn't it? And, you know, I'm just looking at the last 3 years and thinking a lot's changed, right? And I think you're ideally positioned, but I didn't know whether that would be reflected in your own opinions as well.
Oh, well, should we start? I saw you come off mute.
I can start, and you can weigh in with additions. I think it's a great question. I think, like, identity at its core is often like not seen as the sexiest, the most exciting application, and I think that's kind of often like misunderstood, because people don't tend to realize how kind of present and how important it is in their day-to-day lives. And I think one of the key things is the market's kind of, you know, the market within crypto goes in these different waves, as we know. Understanding like kind of what are the key things that happened in the previous kind of the market, and what are the ways in which that we can kind of bounce back and recover from those. I think there was a lot of aspects of trust that were kind of the problems. And, you know, within the crypto industry, whether you work in crypto or you're outside of crypto, people kind of lost trust in the industry, lost trust in the use cases, and lost trust in all the people that are kind of surrounded by it. And one of the most important aspects of what we're building and why identity is at its core, like one of the most vital things for the whole Web3 industry, like every single project in it, is to kind of like create a much more trusted infrastructure and trusted ecosystem. And that level of trust needs to be built into every aspect of the way that a user engages, whether it's a user engaging in a wallet, whether they're kind of like trying to get airdrops, whether they're engaging with a new, you know, a new gaming application, whatever the Web3 use case there is. At the end of the day, there is an individual that's engaging with that, and they want to be able to know that whatever they do, whether they're putting their money on the line, they can trust what happens either way. And ultimately, identity is the way that's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it's not going to be in a centralized way. Like, what we're building is basically the identity aspect of the entirety of Web3. And so I think at now, like, as people are kind of starting to feel a lot more confidence and a lot more excitement and anticipation for what's coming within the industry, I think this next kind of like this evolution of what's happening next could be really exciting for identity, because people see that actually it's the way that we can kind of create a much more lasting and like longevity in the industry. Fraser, I'll let you jump in.
No, that was awesome. I think only two bits to add. So one thing that's happened inside maybe last 3 years or so since we started is like regulations are coming in across Europe that say that every single EU citizen is going to have the right to have a digital ID. So like it won't be like it won't be forced on people, but it'll be there if you want it. And so suddenly the government is basically saying to all of Europe as citizens, like, if you want a digital ID that you can use across different places, you have that right, and every company has to accept it. So you can't end up in the situation where, the positive side of this is that, like, as soon as you have that digital ID, every company has to accept it. So there'll be a case where you should be able to get rid of KYC processes, because you can just, or at least like doing the document scan and the selfie, you can just shift it over to like sharing the same document that you've got in a digital wallet. So that's one massive thing, because it's basically getting regulated in. The other part that's coming through is really, I think, the AI side of things. So even like a year and a half ago, AI was kind of bubbling in the background, but it's obviously massively accelerated recently. And what we're also seeing as a result of that is people panicking about how they're going to be able to trust each other, trust organizations, trust people, trust virtual things, if you've got so much like AI generated content. So I'd say those are probably the only other kind of two big, like forces that I see kind of coming through in addition to Ross, is you've got governments regulating it in, and in a good positive way from my perspective. And you've got AI kind of providing that threat of, if we don't get it right and it doesn't come in soon, then how are we going to trust each other online? Because it could be just completely false. So yeah, I'd say it's there's a big swell. And it kind of explains why there's, I guess, so much like adoption, and things are really, really picking up now.
Thank you very much, both. When you're talking about EU and being offered digital ID, it's just like kind of a sub question, really, on that one I've just asked. Do you see it, there's going to be a range of different providers for that? Do you think that we are going to have, you know, the these regulatory bodies saying you can use X, Y, and Z, and all of those are very much like wallets, right? You know, you can use MetaMask, or you can use, you know, a host of different ones. Do you think that's going to be the case, or is it going to be, this is the one that's like, you know, EU approved, and we're not going outside of that? Because I think what that does is, it will then say, you know, we're looking at competition, and which one of these is going to be the front runner, the first mover, and which is going to be adopted. Because if it's adopted by the kind of the EU, I think then many other kind of either nation states or geographical locations are going to start adopting the similar sort of thing. So yeah, it's kind of like a sub question, if you don't mind just answering that for me as well.
Yeah, happy to. It kind of splits into two. So the EU has already said that there will be at least a wallet per country. So every country has to offer a wallet to its citizens. So you're going to have at least, I don't know what the last count of EU countries is, but you're going to have at least that many. And then beyond that, it will become a market, mostly focused around like I think who builds the best UX, because to be certified, you're going to have to provide sufficient specific functionality. So once you're beyond that, really, you're down to like user experience and how good that is. So it's definitely going to be a market. I think where things will get standardized in kind of your description or like adoption, how that's going to work out, is they've basically mandated certain specifications and standards. So they've said, okay, so it's going to be a market. However, everyone has to fit these certain standards and specifications. And I think that's where that will have a big impact worldwide. Reason for that is you've just, like you were saying, you've got a massive block that's come out and said, okay, we're going to adopt this standard. Like, we'll make it default. It's going to work across all these countries. And hence, like, it just makes sense for a lot of other countries, especially if you're interacting with Europe, to adopt those standards. Just a really quick anecdote. Like, there was about two years ago, there was like this big specifications war about like what credentials should look like and what format they should be in. And everyone was going back and forth, and there was like all these big debates. And then the EU just came up with like, this is the one that we want. And now the debate's over. There is no debate. Everyone's just going for it. So I'd say from a like a wallet personal choice perspective, totally open. From a specifications point, like everyone's going to be working towards the same standards and interoperability and specifications, that kind of stuff. So yeah, open market, but all down to like global standards.
Thanks, Fraser. That's superb. Okay, so do you have, because I have absolutely no idea, do you have any kind of infrastructure competitors then? Is there any, for the checked L1, are there any sort of security stroke privacy? I'm not talking about privacy chains. I'm talking about like what are trying to achieve the same sort of thing as you. And if so, you know, where are you, in that kind of... I suppose in that sort of evolutionary process, you know, are you a long way ahead of those? Are they popping up now? Have they been established a lot longer? What's the kind of general overview of that?
Yeah, good question. So probably a couple of things that help differentiate us and help qualify who we see our competition as. So we very specifically don't put any data on Ledger at all. So you won't even find personal data using zero knowledge proofs on Ledger, because like, if they're broken, the encryption's broken, then suddenly the privacy of the individual is completely gone. So we make a very, very big point of all the data is off Ledger, and kind of there's no personal data on Ledger, even though payments are routed that way. And so for that reason, we've got very limited competition, because we've kind of positioned ourselves in a place where we can work with companies in Web2 who are worried about things like GDPR and the right to be forgotten and not putting data on Ledger. And at the same time, being able to like route payments around, make the whole thing commercially viable. So from an identity perspective, we've said like similar networks might be the likes of Sovereign, who've been around for a long time, or maybe Kilt. I can see Matt on the call as well, one of our community managers. And so if you or Ross can think of any others, but those would be the kind of top of my list. But the difference with both of those is they don't do the payment side of things. So whilst they might have some of the identity side, and some of them, certainly Sovereign, say keeps data off Ledger, they don't have the payment side of things, and that's really where our like USP is. I guess there's Dock as well. Dock are quite similar in terms of like Kilt and Sovereign, but again, like no payments functionality. So really our differentiator is the ability of like whenever data is reused, we can make payments back to the user or back to whoever created the data in the first place. So whilst we might have competition on the like just identity capability side, we're completely off on our own on the payments for identity side, because there's just nothing like it out there. We're aware of a few people trying to build, I think, behind us, but we've got first mover, and we've got like, kind of the traction already and the feedback to work on, the reputation, I guess, as well, that other people don't. Ross or Matt, I don't know if I've missed anything there, but that's the way I kind of view the market at the moment.
Yeah, I think Fraser captured it pretty well. There's also Polygon ID, which is Polygon project, exploring very much in like kind of similar aspects of things, building identity applications and offerings and so forth. Again, not currently looking at payments from what we understand. Yeah.
Thank you both very much. So you've touched on a few of those sort of unique aspects of the payments. I think that's huge for me, because I can then monetize my data should I wish to do so. And I think that's one of the big challenges of big tech, where, you know, we're just farmed at the moment, aren't we? I think the saying is, if it's free, you're the product, isn't it? Something like that. And I think that where we are at the moment is, okay, I don't mind, you know, sharing this information, whatever that might be, you know, as long as it's not that sort of personal level, like I was talking about medical and things earlier on, but I don't mind sharing some general information. If I can monetize that, you know, if I can tokenize that and sort of get rewarded, and you're saying there about the payment, so I'm assuming that's going to be something that is going to be enabled. Is there anything else unique or innovative that you feel that you need to add that you may have missed? I know you've touched on a few points, but I just wanted to make sure there wasn't anything that we had missed out on that last question.
Yeah, really good question. I think this is probably more the stuff that's about to come, although Ross can correct me if I've missed anything. So obviously there's like all the stuff that we have on Ledger. There's the kind of payments for identity side. I think the other bit is really going down the financial part of this and thinking a bit more like a fintech. So if you think about most of the way people deal with data right now, is it just gets issued or shared or like held. As soon as you start putting money in there, actually you're a bit more like a fintech. And so we've started thinking more of that direction of like, okay, we could do some really, really smart stuff when the money is moving through. So for example, using floats to generate yield. So the difference in payment terms between like when a recipient might pay someone back, you can start actually making yield off the back of that. And there's a few more bits and pieces that all relate to that, but it's I guess opening up on the payments value side is really thinking a lot more like a payments fintech company than a data company.
So I think there was a little bit of a crossover there, Ross. I think your microphone might have been open as a bit of a feedback, but I think we've got the general gist of that. Thank you, Fraser. Anything to add, Ross?
No, I think Fraser's covered it pretty well. I think we're kind of differentiating ourselves over time with what we're doing with Creds as well. So when we can come on to that, I can talk about some of the kind of unique aspects and where we're building in that way. And I think one of the things that's, I guess, quite valuable for us is that because we've kind of built an infrastructure and now we're building a consumer app on top of it, one of the benefits of doing so is we can build the network. We can evolve the network in a way that like it very much is in line with those that are building products also, because we basically are a customer of our own product, in the sense that Checked, we're trying to always build and from the product side, we're always trying to like build with the end user in mind. And in many ways, like myself, I've been focusing a lot on Creds recently, and I've been trying to say, okay, what do I need to ask of the network day by day, like week by week, so that I can build the best product possible for our end customers. And so I think that kind of differentiates us quite well, because we have a full, you know, as I guess VCs would say, we have a full vertical stack where we can fully understand like the different aspects of the audience, the technology, the market, and so forth.
Brilliant, thank you very much, Ross. So let's have a look at the last 3 years, not so much on your journey, but just the last 3 years in where I think a lot of people have had a lot of upheaval. There's been a lot of shock. We've had a lot of, some would say, overreach from governments and privacy issues and a lot, just a lot of turmoil, really, I think. Why do you guys believe that it's crucial for organizations and users to be adopting what you're building, you know, to be utilizing that? I mean, even say, you know, on for us that are using, say, social platforms and that kind of thing, you know, why using the last 3 years of history, why do you think now it's really in the forefront of people's minds and now is a time when people should be really taking this at a more serious level?
I'd probably start with the platform that we're all currently on and how difficult it is to migrate to any of the alternatives. I know a lot of people say, 6 months or a year ago, we're trying out things like Mastodon, Blue Sky. And regardless of where you fit in terms of like believing the reasons behind that were valid, it's basically impossible to do. It is very, very hard to move networks. And all of that content that you've generated is locked into that platform. So all of your data is stuck inside the platform, all your social graph is stuck inside the platform, and you just can't move it anywhere else. So I think that's one of the biggest things is the portability side of things, being able to take this data wherever you want it and then clear it down afterwards. I'd say that's a massive, massive part that maybe people didn't care so much about a while ago, but they're now starting to want to migrate and shift all these different bits around. I think the other bit is just, I guess it's coming around more into like just being able to use this data. And again, it's that portability part of like be able to use this data in more and more places. I think what we're finding is that everything is so fragmented, you're just creating more and more accounts and having to enter the same data in. I think maybe 2 years ago, there was a study, I need to go and dig it out, where someone looked at just how many accounts the average person has. And it was somewhere around 100. And I think it's actually, then there was like an updated number that was like 200. And so it's just massively, massively fragmented, and it's only getting worse. I think everyone's kind of like actively realized how big of a problem that is. I think those would be the main bits for me. It's just that portability and being locked into platforms and not having the ability. There's just such a high switching cost. Ross, I don't know if you'd add anything to that.
No, I think that's the key points. I think people are getting more and more switched on to, I guess it's something that's happened more so than just in the past 3 years, but ever since Cambridge Analytica and all the big, Netflix documentaries came out maybe 5 or 6 years ago now, where we had the social dilemma, and you had Cambridge Analytica and all the kind of the various different aspects of election naughtiness and so forth. That people start to understand, like as you kind of said right at the top of the call, like if the product's free, then you are the product kind of thing, and you are being sold, and your data is being sold. And I think more and more people that kind of aren't necessarily the most technical people, aren't necessarily in the industry of advertising and marketing and so forth, understand that concept now and are curious and interested in what that could look like, what a difference could look like. And I think as an application of Web3, it's probably one of the most relatable applications. And I think, there's incredible things going on in the DeFi space, and there's RWAs, and there's all these things that are getting people super excited. But actually, like, if you can say to people, look, there's ways in which you can better manage your data, you can choose how and when you get advertised to. And not only that, you can actually find ways to monetize the way that you want to get advertised to, improve the way kind of your personalization of the experience, find new ways of kind of building credit. And we're working with a great company as well. Simon Molitor, who's on the call here as well from DSID, is exploring a range of different kind of credit scores and identity across the ecosystem. So there's just like a lot of different ways in which people can kind of engage in identity. And that's kind of exciting.
I just to add on that as well, and go back to the point around privacy, 3 years ago, we didn't have the idea of SBTs. So soulbound tokens, and I think I find it quite interesting that they were kind of announced, there was loads of shouting about them, and then they've gone very, very quiet, because I think the awareness of privacy and not putting personal data on ledger and the dangers of doing so are becoming much more, everyone's a lot more aware of them. And I think then we've also seen things like Tornado, what happened with Tornado Cash, where obviously you ended up with someone being arrested and like jailed or at least tried for kind of building a privacy tool. But you also, one of the major takeaways I took from it was that someone fired tainted Tornado Cash to a load of celebrities. because they were dumb enough to attach their, or like publicize the wallets that they held. And so I think there's a much better awareness of like, don't put this stuff on Ledger. Sorry, don't put identity on Ledger or credentials about yourself, because it is going to bite you in the ass. So I think the awareness of privacy from that angle has got a lot stronger as well. Always reminds me of something that Tor from Secret mentioned, which is that everyone at the moment right now, like using public ledgers and writing stuff on them and all this kind of jazz, like is kind of walking around outside like publicly with their clothes off, like that is the equivalent. And I think the awareness is starting to come through, and as a result there's a big push towards like, okay, if we're going to go do this, we should really do it properly. Otherwise, it's going to end really badly.
Thank you for that insight, Fraser. I want to now go into talking about a little bit about security, because you're talking about on-chain and off-chain, and make, you know, the difference in what you're storing on-chain, and you know, making sure there's no accessibility for nefarious actors. But what I would like to do first of all is just touch on the I'm writing saying you are allowing participants in tonight's AMA to access CRED, and there's a CRED claim code. Is that correct? Can you just give us an insight into that so those listeners at this point can take part?
Yeah, of course. I can jump in there. So maybe you want me to introduce like CREDs as a whole and then kind of explain like what people can gain access to?
I think if what we do, because we're going to talk about CREDs in a second, so rather than introducing that, I think what we can just do is we can say that obviously there is going to be, you know, a giveaway or an accessibility to that. I'd just like us to obviously touch on the fact that, you know, do they, these people that are listening tonight, do they need to do anything, you know, currently? Is that going to be something we're going to be able to do post-AMA, or are they going to sort of have to be activating something while we're talking, I'm thinking, before we get sort of towards the last half of the call?
Ah, good point. That's a great idea. So, yeah, so basically, we will share a link, a claim link, which we'll put into the channel here. I think maybe we can put it as one of the responses perhaps on the channel, or maybe Matt will be able to ping you in the background because he's done this number of times, so he'll know the best way to do it. But yeah, essentially all you'll have to do, you'll click the link that that comes up. That will take you over to apps.creds.xyz. It'll open as, you can open it in Safari or Chrome, whatever you're using. Others do exist. And then essentially you'll get the opportunity to claim that credential. And what that means is that credential, which basically will say you were here, and in the future that can get added to your identity wallet. And that also can get added to, kind of becomes a part of your reputation. And you know, the future, basically you'll go around collecting different ones of these creds, and it will exist in an off-chain wallet, and it will be signed by CHECK as an organization, or by CREDS. I'm not actually sure which one of us is one's issuing it. But it'll basically be somewhat like if you've ever been to an event or been to something and collected a POAP, it's somewhat like that. It's something that shows that you were here, but you'll also be able to kind of blend that with other credentials that you can claim.
Fantastic, fantastic. I know in the old-fashioned days, in my days, it was festival wristbands. So that's what I'm likening that to. So lots of festival wristbands to prove I was at Glastonbury, etc. But anyway,
that.
Joking aside, guys.
No, it's a perfect example. Like we've been saying this internally, that it bugs us that like now everything's shifted to digital tickets and stuff. You've got no record of what you've been to, which is a massive shame. Like, there's so many things that I was like, oh, I don't have like a paper, like anything to prove that I was. Really good example, I was at the semi-final between England and South Africa in the Rugby World Cup. I've got nothing to show for it, which is a shame. So yeah, it was like exactly festival response. Really good example.
So let's move on to security now. Just to double check, because it's L1, the CHECK, because I want to keep the two segmented, the CHECK token, is that the gas? Is that going to be part of this payment where we can tokenize our ID in the future? Or is that just going to be the underlying sort of gas on the L1?
Good question. It's a few bits and pieces. So it's gas. But also to achieve what we do with like all the data moving off Ledger, but kind of having cryptography on Ledger, We burn tokens whenever there's like identity utility used on the network. So it's kind of like gas, but with kind of burns for company decentralized IDs or decentralized identifiers. We then have things where there's some utilities like revocation registries, which tell you whether a credential has been revoked, whether it's been suspended, that kind of thing. And then separately, yeah, it's used for payments. And obviously over time that will kind of evolve. And the ambition is we'll start using it as collateral and then settling in USDC or equivalent. But yeah, it's a mix of gas, governance, burns for identity tokens, and also payments.
Thanks once again, Fraser. Talking of the SSL now, so self-sovereignty. SSI, self-sovereignty identity. Talk to me about the token use in that environment.
Yeah, absolutely. So it kind of goes back to whenever you, if we go through like the life cycle, so let's say you're a company, you want to start issuing credentials. Let's say it's a DAO. So DAO wants to start issuing credentials. It could be for like team members, it could be ambassadors, or it could even be endorsements of other DAOs or sub DAOs. So the DAO basically creates this decentralized identifier on the network. It then says, okay, I've got like, maybe it's like three or four different types of credentials. So it then writes to the network again. So both the creation of the identity of the organization is burning tokens. Then creating like the different types of credential is again on the network. And then it starts issuing those credentials out. And some of them might be like the team, the endorsement, all this kind of stuff. And whenever those things need to be revoked, again, they make an update to something called a revocation registry where those tokens basically are burned off the network, and you then update that registry to say, okay, that credential that I issued, I want to revoke it now, or this person has left the DAO, I want to revoke their team member credential. And then separately, what you might have is, let's say someone moves from one DAO and they apply to a job at another DAO. You could have a situation where they use their credentials, they share the team member credential to another DAO, which says, yes, I was part of this DAO, here are my duties, I successfully executed them, I've got a good reputation, share them to the second DAO, and the second DAO would basically pay, again, using the check token to check that credential is true, exists, hasn't been revoked, all that kind of stuff. And so that's kind of the life cycle of like how the token is used across different elements of that journey. So mostly like the first half of that is burning tokens off the network for identity utility. And then the final bit is basically using it as a payment mechanism to pay for access to check the credential in the first place. Hope that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Quite circular then. You know, the coin itself is going around and it's been used in quite a variety of different mechanisms. Good utility. Exactly. Yeah. So let's speed on, because like the time is zipping on by. So let's move into security now. You've talked about this on-chain, and I touched on this a second ago, the on-chain activity, the data being off-chain. How are you protecting that data? What do you do at Chekt to ensure safety and protection of users, assets, and that database that has been obviously not yours, but you know, there's been database issues in the past, doesn't there, where there's been breaches. So what are you guys doing?
Yeah, really good question. I think the key thing is it's with the users themselves. So a lot of the wallets that we work with are like the data is actually with the individual. So in that way, they're kind of the custody, and we've not got this massive database just storing up a load of credentials for an individual. So it's kind of very different to the centralized model of like, we're just going to keep all that data ourselves. Similarly, there's not like a big registry on Ledger where you can go and check individuals' data if it was there. And then, I mean, I'll hand over to Ross for more detail. But the thing that we do with creds is we use something very similar to 1Password. So the data is encrypted by the user client side on the browser, and then it gets sent off to decentralized storage and then kind of retrieved whenever they need it again. So like, we don't have access to that data And we can't see anything that's in it. The only person who can see whatever is in that is the user. And so really our, I guess the model is like the user has that control, has that ownership. It's decentralized in a way that, like, if you went after a user, you're going to have to do it one by one to get that data. So it's suddenly incredibly inefficient as opposed to the honeypot model. And then separately, encrypting it client side. So actually, we never see it. And the only person who sees the contents of that data or that data store is the user. Ross, am I missing anything from how we've done that on Cred?
Sorry, struggling to come off mute. No, I think you've done it well. I guess one thing which maybe we haven't touched on as much is just like the two key technologies which are involved here, and just to put them super simple. So when we're talking about credentials and this word creds that we've called the company, these creds is what goes in this wallet and this off-chain wallet. So they're basically just like data, as Fraser's kind of mentioned, that contains any different piece of information, whether it's like you went to this university, you got this, you got this degree, you had that, this is the kind of what you achieved and so forth. That is all kind of like the credential that sits in the off-chain wallet. And then the thing that's on-chain, and this is how the payments work, is this signature. And so think of it as like, as you get the document from your university, it's a piece of paper, say, and at the bottom of that document, there's a signature that says, or a stamp of approval or whatever it is. That stamp, that signature is what's on chain. And so if anyone was ever to say, okay, let me want to see that university credential, they would take a look at it and they go, okay, that stamp is the stamp that we trust. That stamp is what's on chain. And so that's kind of a key aspect of the security of things.
Brilliant. Yeah, because I know that our CTO of the project has talked to me before about sort of data storage and why there's not many files actually on blockchains because of like the complexities around that. So now that makes a lot more sense. So just to round up the checked kind of conversation, because we've been speaking about this for a heck of a long time, and it's been really, really enlightening. What have you guys got up your sleeve? What are you going to be bringing out in 2024 that we can all get really excited about? Is there anything that you need to tell us about that's in the short term?
I think the thing that we're working on right now is some of that planning. So I don't want to go into too much detail of what's coming early, but there'll be almost certainly an on-chain upgrade. There's a bunch of stuff that we want to do that, that we really need an on-chain upgrade. Probably one of the biggest things is enabling some work where like all the data lives off-chain, but you can bring proofs of it on-chain in certain respects. So this would mean like the credentials stay with you, the data stays with you, but if you want to say prove that you are, I don't know, outside of the US to access a certain DeFi pool, if that ever comes in, you'd be able to, or prove that you have a certain level of governance. If you want to be kind of doing that way as part of a DAO, you can. So that's going to be one of the big things for, I think, like early in the year, as well as kind of at the point where we do that, it also opens up some like other on-ledger functionality that we want. But I think the other bit from a checked perspective at the network layer is going into like more complex payment models. So right now it's very much transactional. It's like every receiver pays an issuer and they do it on the fly. So it's very much transactional. And what we want to do is move that through into much more complex payment models. Where it could be like subscription-based, volume-based discounting, cost mutualization, where we've got a lot more complex logic going on. But the other thing is part of that I really want to do, which is very much on like the DeFi side, is if you've got those payment models, like let's say a verifier or receiver is paying in every time they get data and it's coming into like an escrow in the middle and they're figuring out the logic on payment. Like whilst that, let's say your payment terms are 30 days, then we could stick that into, say, a vault that's earning yield. We could lend it out. We could invest it. There's so many things that we could do with the money as it starts flowing through. And the other thing, which I think it's a bit further down the line, is we could also start creating identity I guess payment flows is an asset class, in a little bit of the same way as you've got like mortgage-backed securities, that kind of thing. So hopefully not as risky and not going to be responsible for a complete like financial meltdown, but a completely new asset class, all based around the fact that like you should own your data, be rewarded for that, and there's a huge amount of value tied to it. So that's probably the stuff at the check layer. And I'll shut up and let us get across to creds and the stuff that what are we speaking about?
No, I think that it really is like I say, it really is truly enlightening, because just to understand like the difference, I mean, you know, I've got like so much value already out of what you guys are sharing, and you know, I'm piecing it in my mind in a simplistic format of like different manifestations of it. But yeah, I find it all fascinating. So now we've got this application on the L1, which is called Creds. And am I right in thinking that this is shiny new? Is this just literally weeks out of the gate? You know, it certainly appears so from when I did a little high level look at it. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that some of our listeners tonight can start onboarding and start having a play and utilizing that. Tell me a little bit about, you know, you guys have obviously got a lot of background, a lot of experience in, you know, identity, digital identity, etc. But where did the Creds idea come from as the first use case on your L1?
Oh, just before Ross starts, so definitely not the first, but it was more like a lot of sovereign ID demos are dry. They're like lots of text, very technical, typically not that sexy looking to the way Ross described it earlier. So for the longest time, we wanted to build a demo that just showed how good it could look. Like if you really got the user experience right, how good self-sovereign ID could look like. Because one of our big theories is that like there's going to be a tipping point where if as soon as enough people have experienced good decentralized self-sovereign ID, they'll start demanding it everywhere. It'll be a little bit like in the UK when digital onboarding checks, where you did do like scan the document and take a selfie, came through. And suddenly, like they started off in the neobanks like Monzo, Revolut, and now they're everywhere because it's so much better and everyone demanded it. And I think the same is going to happen with self-sovereign ID, decentralized ID. So there's going to be this tipping point. And so off the back of that, we're like, let's go and show what this should look like. Let's go and show an SSI decentralized ID demo where it really does look fantastic and it shows people what's possible. And we accidentally built the product. Every time we showed it to people, they're like, this looks awesome, let's go use it for various different use cases. And so we kind of accidentally built a product, which is a great position to be in. But it originally started off as a demo, just to show the community and to show people in general what good self-sovereign ID looks like. And this is probably the bit where I hand over to Ross, because this is the bit that really he's been leading and is championing. So don't want to steal this thunder.
Yeah, not at all. So what is Creds? Creds is basically an application for users to build their reputation based on how they engage across Web3 and in the future, completely beyond Web3. So as a user, you can basically, all the different communities that you're part of, whether they're kind of various different kind of DAOs or community projects, you know, the communities of key like tokens and so forth, you can basically earn creds from doing different activities. And so we've built creds in the way that these organizations can set themselves an on-chain identifier, basically a profile on-chain, and they can build credentials in a matter of minutes, which traditionally has taken much longer to do so. And once they've built these credentials, they can then issue them to their community. And so some of the kind of the credentials that a user might want to collect would be things like events, which is obviously what you're having here. You know, one of the key ways of recognizing that someone is a valuable and trusted community member and deserves to kind of be rewarded and recognized in that way is the people that actually show up day in, day out to different kind of events, to spaces, to webinars, to podcasts, whatever that might be, because that shows they're genuinely interested in engaging. And I think within the kind of the Web3 space, obviously there's a huge amount of potential upside financially by these airdrops, and I think that's growing at the moment. Trying to figure out who the most valuable community members are is often difficult, and you end up kind of just rewarding people in a pretty massive and unopinionated way. But with creds, communities can issue credentials to people in a much more kind of personalized way. And so, yes, you can kind of come to events and you can claim credentials. You can also complete learning journeys with things like Galaxy, Zili, all these other different things. And so you can learn about the project, you can engage in the project that way. You can also earn credentials based on being endorsed for a skill. So for example, we're working with some organizations which are doing hackathon credentials or developer credentials. So as a user, you can build your reputation up based on kind of your actual core contributions to code. So we're looking at integrations with GitHub, so we can actually issue credentials to developers based on pull requests and merges and things like that. So the list goes on of different types of credentials. We also see it as a really important way of kind of protecting users. And we've built a bot with Telegram, which enables you to basically actually check who you're engaging with based on the credentials that they have. And so if, for example, you joined our community, you joined our Czech Telegram group, and Ross Power decided to message you, and you were like, seems a bit weird that this guy's just suddenly messaged me when I've joined. We've built a bot that basically any member of the community can go and check whether that is the genuine, like Ross Power or Fraser, whoever that is. And what that will do is that will go check against the creds I have in my wallet. And so I guess like in an overview, the key things that it's about securing and building your reputation in a safe way, in a way that you own your reputation, and being able to kind of engage in a kind of a few different ways. It's loyalty, it's protection, and it's trust.
Amazing. And the fact you've got a Telegram bot, I mean, so Ross Power's not going to be tapping me up on Telegram tonight for 2F or something to lend him for a couple of hours, and I can just, you know, sift through that and see how many creds he's got and make sure that it's actually the right one. And I mean, that in itself is just bloody amazing, isn't it? Because the amount of scammers that we've got on Telegram and on these social channels in the crypto space is unreal. So I think that anyone should be exploring the product that you're bringing to the table there. I know we've touched on a lot of the sort of use cases in terms of organizations, you know, banking, metaverse, VR, gaming, travel, healthcare, all these kind of things. So I'm not going to spend too much time floating around those because we've already touched on it. But is there anything, before I come into your sort of community campaigns and the gamification of creds, is there anything upcoming that the community need to be aware of, developments and that kind of thing with the creds app in the short term, in the next sort of 3 to 6 months?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the really exciting things is in the last month we launched our Creator Studio. And the Creator Studio is basically a studio that allows, it's just an app, a web app, that allows people to build a profile and build credentials really simply. And what that means is projects, DAOs, organizations like yourself, anyone really can set up a profile in a matter of minutes. And what's really exciting is in the new year, we're going to be opening that up to a much broader audience on basically a free trial. So more and more people can start to create an on-chain profile and start to build and issue credentials. And the key thing that we want to find is that we want to have lots of different people engaging with creds and actually seeing how they start to use the application, because we've got our ideas. But once you open something up, you actually start to see how other people use it. And so, yeah, if you're kind of from a project, whether you're from, you know, a crypto project, even any Web3 project or even a non-Web3 project, to be honest, and you're interested in kind of like recognizing and rewarding your community, then drop me a DM because we can get you set up like in the next week, like literally tomorrow, and you can start playing around and building and issue credentials to your community and helping basically recognize them for their contributions. So that's kind of one of the key things that's happening. We're also working on, Fraser kind of mentioned already, you know, one of the key hypotheses, one of the key things that the whole idea of Checked, our experiment has been, is to say that, you know, payments will create an incentive for people to move across to this much better way of managing identity. And we're also going to be building payments into creds. And so as an organization, you'll be able to build and issue these credentials, but you'll be also able to add the option for these credentials to be purchased or paid to verify. And so as a user issuing credentials, you can, when you're kind of setting your credential up, your artwork and so forth, you'll be able to say, I want this credential to cost, say, you know, 50 Czech, whatever that might be in USD. And I want someone to have to pay to verify that credential. And then the issuer themselves can actually get a cutback off that. There's a few things that we'll be exploring. Some good launches in the new year. And that will kind of coincide with our on-chain upgrade, which Fraser mentioned, which one of the key aspects of what that would enable is us to be able to work more so with all the projects within the Cosmos ecosystem, enable them to start kind of engaging fully with creds and consuming creds and issuing creds. And we've got some interesting kind of work in the pipeline with some big governance organizations to really kind of like rethink the way that proof of stake governance is managed. So you can have an entirely different model around how you actually manage governance.
On Ross, just to nudge you on extra ones, what about the campaign feature and maybe the campaign that we have running right now?
Oh, true. Well, do you want to take the campaign feature?
Yeah, I can do. Just to build on what Ross was saying, as well as all the protection stuff, so the Telegram bot and issuing team credentials, we've got all the issuance working, we've got like managing credentials in there. But what we realized is we obviously know how to use it because we designed it. But for other people coming in afresh, like it's hard to, like, you don't really know what you could use it for. Not initially without guidance. So what we're putting in, and probably over the next couple of weeks alongside payments, is just guided journeys on what you could do with this. So the most basic one is just issue all of your team credentials so that you can protect them, so that you can protect like the community who interacts with them. So for example, all the checks, like ambassadors and mods, will start getting credentials that they can prove who they are, or at least that they're working for the company. Just on the fraud example, we had a few community members rejoin the group with alt accounts, and within like 10 minutes of posting their first message, like they got just sent a DM by a scammer asking or like telling them that they could offer support with wallets. And so that's kind of one example of like a really easy journey. But we're also going to be building in stuff like if you're attending multiple AMAs, if you're going to certain events, if you're going through certain learning journeys, and how that actually impacts community growth, how you not just get community growth, but also get like the people who actually believe in the project, who mean to like engage and build stuff, and then rewarding them over time, in contrast to what Ross was kind of giving an example of earlier, where right now, like most airdrops are pretty indiscriminate, and at best they're based on wallet behavior, even where that wallet is like just one individual with 50 addresses or 50 accounts. And so focusing it much more onto individuals. So at the moment, as an example of that, so we obviously know how to use this. And so the campaigns feature will be just make it easy for anyone to kind of follow us down this path. We've been doing this over the last, I think we started last Wednesday or Tuesday. So we're running a campaign where we have credentials hidden across like all of our material. So if you go through, like if you go into our Telegram, there's clues, there's basically a treasure hunt all across our various materials, across various different channels and different avenues. So we've completely gamified the entire process. Obviously with prizes at the end. And so it's really to prove that like we can put this entire journey, and nothing initially is on ledgers. So there's no like NFTs, there's nothing kind of giving away privacy. But at the end of this is if you collect enough of these credentials and you've got the entire journey, there are prizes at the end of it, and we can really narrow it down to the people who've done the homework. So Ross, Matt, I've probably butchered the campaigns feature and the campaign you're running, but that was my best understanding of what you guys are up to.
Tremendous. And what's just, I've always been interested in marketing and crypto marketing specifically. So Web3 marketing and different campaign structures, strategies of different projects, in different sectors, whether it's utility, payments, whatever it might be, and how they're conducting that. I think this is incredible, guys, because what you've got here is me as a project founder as well. I'm super interested already in the DAO setup, so I can say to like my VIPs that are in the DAO that, you know, they can have this ability to prove themselves within the wider community, so they can help the wider community and they can be, you know, authenticated. But I also think with the TG bar and us being able to verify the utilization of the TG bot for verification, I mean, that's big. But then going on to having, you know, what I see as, you know, these communities or spaces, depending whether you're using Galaxy or whether you're using Tide or Zealy, you know, letting the community build out these campaigns of how they're using these creds. And then you data harvesting essentially the different campaigns to then say, these are like the strategies that are being utilized by these customers. And of course, then we are marketing for you without any expense, aren't we? So we are, you know, using it in the DAO, or we're using it within the community. We're issuing these creds. And that is, your product is selling itself and your product is actually drawing more people in. So as a passionate crypto marketing student, I find it all incredibly fascinating. What I want to do while we're talking on that subject, just, I know that we've run over, but it's been such an enlightening evening. I just want you to touch on your Zealy campaign. You're gamifying these creds to allow community members to onboard, but get involved in the social stuff. You know, get involved in the cred side and start learning more about the project. Talk to us about that. How does that look? What are the expectations? How do people get involved? And then we'll do a quick roundup of tonight's conversation.
Yeah, sure. So the best way to kind of start engaging would be to join our Telegram group, and I think we can probably put that straight into the kind of the chat here. If you go to Telegram, the group name I'm just checking is literally at Checked, and make sure you don't find any other ones, but it's at Checked. There's you'll be able to kind of see Matt, who's our brilliant community manager here, who will be sharing these, what the various different kind of ways you can engage, and you'll see links to our Zealy and our various different kind of quests and so forth. So that's probably the easiest way. Also follow, you know, our Twitter here, follow Matt, because Matt here with the purple ready sort of the wave, follow him, because he's the one that's sharing a lot of this. Follow Checked, and you'll be able to kind of get engaged in these. And we've got some exciting, very novel ways that we're kind of doing, I don't want to say airdrops, but novel ways that we're kind of doing engagement and rewards and things like that.
Yeah, and I think final bit to build upon it is really Ross's dog in the background, but the key differentiator with all of this is that you really can as you build up these credentials, combine them in any way you see fit, and also hide them after the fact. So you'd be able to prove that you attended an AMA or an in-person event without doxing anything about like who you are, where you're from, what any of your handles are. At the same time, I can then prove that I'm like a member of the Check team, I was on this AMA, and a bunch of other stuff in addition. So you've got complete control in what you collect, but also in what you share. So if you're across multiple like communities and multiple projects, you can combine them in a very, very easy way that kind of isn't available otherwise, in a way that like, this reputation isn't going to be locked into just Zealy or into Galaxy. You can pull it around, combine it, like use different combinations as you see fit. Like Ross said, just find us on those various channels and get stuck in.
Amazing, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Can you just give us like anything that I may have missed? There's questions I've still got burning in my brain, but I appreciate we've run 15 minutes over and Pablo will be giving me a telling off. So what I want to do is just you guys just wrap it up. Anything that I've missed that you want to add, that you want to bring a conclusion to this conversation, please take the microphone and then I will just say a couple of words at the end, and then that will be us for the evening. So once from myself, thank you, and the floor is yours for a couple of minutes.
Ross, after you.
Yeah, I'll say a few, and then you round things off, Fraser. So yeah, I think the key thing for me is, you know, everyone here is probably joining, and if you're in the UK, you're joining, and it's 8:45 on a Sunday evening. So you're obviously interested in the space and looking to kind of learn and understand. And so I really appreciate everyone like kind of turning up and taking the time to listen in and stay throughout the whole call here. I guess the key thing for me is, if you're passionate about Web3 and passionate about understanding how we can kind of make a more fairer, equitable, more democratic society, I really do think that understanding digital identity and decentralized identity is a really great thing to invest your time in. We've got some great docs that kind of help you understand some of the key aspects of it. We've got we offer kind of like a lot of learning through our Zili campaigns. And myself and Fraser and Anchor and one of my other colleagues, Alex, we spend a lot of time kind of understanding industry, writing good content on it. And yeah, generally, I just think identity is a really important space. I think it's going to be set to change a lot in the next decade. And I think it's definitely something that can be quite exciting, quite sexy if it's understood and it's implemented in the right way. So yeah, looking forward to kind of engaging with anyone that's been here, and thanks for listening along.
Yeah, I have to second that. Yeah, especially with it being on a Sunday at this time. So massively appreciate everyone tuning in, and also to our hosts for some excellent questions as well, and some personal examples as well around the like personal patient data, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, massive thank you to everyone who's attended and our hosts. And then probably doubling down on what Ross just said in terms of if you're in a DAO or a project and you're interested in either the application side of this or creating credentials for yourselves, drop us a note, get in touch. We'd love to get you onboarded, because really the best thing about credentials is when they're combined together. So the more like organizations, more issues, more creators, more people we can get into it, the better it is. So yeah, please get in touch.
Cheers, guys. It's been fantastic, and I'd love to get you back onto some sort of AMA in the near future, hopefully in early 2024, and see how things are progressing. Once again, thank you to Pablo over at CoinMarketLeague for hosting the Speculate X podcast on these Sunday evenings. If you like these podcasts, then by all means, join us on Sunday evenings, where we'll be doing more of these with exciting projects in the crypto space from a variety of different arenas. For myself, Ben at Bullring, if you want to give me a follow, I also share a variety of different crypto content, from all the way from meme coins and, you know, the fun side of crypto, through to really sort of technical projects that are being built out. I just love every aspect of the Web3 world. I find it truly, truly fascinating. So thank you once again for listening. It's been tremendous. Make sure that you hit that link that will be in the comments and get started on your creds journey. Cheers, guys. All the best, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening.
Thanks a lot. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works.
Sin, we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage, like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible, when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.